This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Gets the snap, waits, flushed out of the pocket, starts to run, and he's going to run to the 20, to the 15. Oh, and take a hit on a slide, and there's no flag, and now we got a scrum going. And markers everywhere, we got a full-blown Pier Sixer. Damar Hamlin made the hit on a sliding Kenny Pickett, and James Daniels went out of control, and he's near the Buffalo bench, which is enemy territory.
It was not a good place to be.
Well, I didn't see a flag on the initial hit, and there should have been one.
There's no question.
Well, we'll see if they get it sorted out. There's a bunch of flags on the field.
Yeah, everybody who had a flag threw one.
Indeed. That was a moment when Kenny Pickett scrambled and his former Pitt teammate, Damar Hamlin, came up and launched himself. And, you know, if I recall, I believe that was a head-first hit to the back. Was it not on Kenny? Was I wrong in that, or I'm trying to remember now?
Yeah, no, I felt like Kenny initiated the slide before the intent was there. So I felt it was a little late, but I mean, you know, you can parse the straws. You got to trust
the refs, even though I don't trust him. I mean, didn't –
yeah.
If I recall now, I'm
Dude
in my
led
mind's,
with his head. Yeah. Yeah, he led with his head, and he was aiming at Kenny.
And Kenny's so, back. Kenny slid, yeah. Turned his back, and he took one in the back. Now,
yeah, he took one. Yeah.
I look at that, and, you know, James Daniels, I don't blame him. He did the right thing.
No.
You
got to
come over. You got to protect your guy. Now, I thought it was amazing that James held his temper so he didn't get thrown out. That was being a pro. All right, he did what he had to do. You got to send a message back. You're not going to tolerate that sort of crap. Okay, but at the same time, you don't want to get yourself thrown out, thereby damaging your team, which is already damaged. Right.
Exactly. You don't want to cause further insult to injury, right? You're already in a bad place. You don't want to come off as having bad sportsmanship, right? But you also have to toe the line of sportsmanship versus standing up for your teammate and not taking the additional shots that the team is giving, right? Because they're playing a little extra because they're feeling themselves.
Right.
And I understand. And trust me. We all know too well. You and I both know how too well. Sometimes when you start feeling yourself, you start thinking you can be a little cavalier.
Right.
You're a little willy-nilly, so to speak. But James did the right thing in that moment. And also, you know, listen, the Shaq Lawson hit to Kenny's legs. That hit as well. You defend your teammate. They're taking cheap shots at that point. You know he's running out of bounds and he's getting rid of the football. And your intent, you're already diving and falling. You could pull off. You could pull. I don't care. Oh, he's moving so fast. He's this high-performing athlete. No. No. You knew what you were doing, and he knew what he was doing in that moment. And you can definitely do that. And Kenny stood up for himself, and his teammates responded in kind. I thought one of the great things that I saw was when that first melee happened
with
James Daniels – and Kevin Dotson and company, right?
Right.
I saw Miles Jack trying to creep closer. He was off the sidelines. Mike Tomlin was darn near at the hash coming out to see everything. And they're holding back Miles Jack. I love to see that as a teammate, you know, from that moment. Because I saw it and I was like, yep. One fight we all fight. That's the brotherhood that we have.
And you're in this together.
Listen, and I had and trust me, being on a line with Willie Colon and Chris Kimiyatu and Darnell Stapleton, we had more than one of those occasions.
I well understand that.
Hey, where you cut the side eye, you're like, let me look at the right side. What's the right side doing? I'm like, all right, okay, we're getting closer. Let me step a little bit closer. All right, okay. Oh, is this what we're doing? This is what we're doing? All right, let's go.
Indeed. That's it, buddy. So I'm going to take you to the second point that Chuck made, okay? Chuck, second point, be careful what you read. Be careful of what you watch. Be careful of what you allow to take your attention and erode your confidence. Because what he likened it to, well, he didn't have it in that terms there, but really in today's terminology, you're talking about it like a computer virus. You know, you have something that starts deleting all the confidence, eroding the confidence that you have in the man to your left, the man to your right, your coach, what have you. If you start reading and believing the negativity that's going to surround the situation you're in, you're exposing yourself to an opportunity to have your confidence eroded. And when you lose confidence, you got problems. You got real problems. Because you start this cycle of self-fulfilling prophecy. For instance, if you sit there and say, I can't give up a sack, I can't give up a sack, you know what's going to happen? You're going to give up a sack. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right, because it becomes that ever-negative self-fulfilling prophecy of you know, this endless loop. And you've got to make sure that you don't expose yourself to it. And Chuck was very big on what you allowed into your mind, what you were spending your time and your attention to. And he stood up there. He had that USA Today. You know, has the game bypassed Chuck Knoll? And basically he was saying, hey, does anybody here think the game has bypassed me? No. Nobody there, yeah. No. Because it went on to another point, what has worked before will work again. And here's the thing about it. If you know what is successful, if you have a backlog and a knowledge of what is successful football, it doesn't suddenly leave you. It changes, sure, and you've got to change with the people and be able to adapt certain things. But, you know, outside zone is outside zone. Inside zone is inside zone. Trapping game is the trapping game. You know what I mean? And it's either you are able to execute what you need or you're going to get gone. That's the way it is.
Well, and I'll put it this way, Wolf. The most infectious, most virulent, poisonous, fastest acting thing in the entire known world, this entire planet. Do you know what that is, Wolf?
Disgruntlement, you know?
No.
What's that?
A thought.
Oh.
A thought.
That's good. That's why I don't think much.
Yeah. But a thought, it can infect your body, can infect those around you, can infect a team, a city, a nation.
I'm such a sucker. Thought. I should have known that. Dadgummit, took my own words. Yeah. The Chuck's own words they gave to me in 1989, and you just
highlighted. I was trying to support you in that moment.
I don't do well with those things.
See, we got to play more video games together, Wolf.
There you go. That's
yeah,
the
there
answer.
It is. See, play more video games together.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
But that is the most, and that gets to everything that you're saying. It's once you believe it, it becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes the cycle, right?
Right.
It binds you. It shackles you because it's already invaded your mental state. And the strongest thing on the body has to be your mind. The body will break down.
Oh, yeah.
But the body can be built back if the mind is strong, right? You could come back from injury if you're mentally strong and you're willing to go through the process. But if you're unwilling or there's an ounce of doubt, an ounce of skepticism,
right,
that will throw a wrench in everything. That will a setback, right? That will be a lapse. That will be a stumble into a fall. All of those things affect you. And when we're talking about professional sports, that is what separates the great teams from the good teams. The ordinary becomes extraordinary, and the extraordinary becomes habit or ordinary. Once you believe it, you have to will yourself into that. I remember back when we were 7-5, Wolf, back in 2005, we were 7-5.
I remember it well. Yep.
Three-game losing streak. We're at a position now, man, we're flirting with 500. This team was at an AFC championship game a year before, 15-1. Now we're at this position where 12 games in, you know, we're staring at the face of not even making the playoffs. Got to have it for 4 weeks straight. And that's just for the opportunity. But We all believed in ourselves. We had that players-only meeting. I'll never forget it. We closed that door, said, coaches, not necessary. This is a us issue. Y'all keep doing the X's and O's, right? Y'all keep doing what y'all do. We have, it's our job to go out there, execute, and make y'all right.
So hold on, hold it right there. Hold it right there. So you were, as a team, you're owning that. It's right here. Yeah. Coaches, stay, do what you want outside, but right now we're owning it. So that's the first thing Chuck said. All the answers to all the questions, they're in the locker room, right? Be careful what you read. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you allow to erode your confidence. You know, like the computer virus thing. And that comes again from within and trying to stay and maintain. Absolutely. And it, as you said, what has worked before will work again. If it's one of those things, you know, if you're, you know, I'm not talking about a Mouse Davis, you know, the duck and you run and shoot, the chuck and duck and all that stuff. I'm not talking about a whole different offensive system. You know, an outside zone, the play works when it's blocked correctly. All right. So now it's always about you got to block it correctly. Therefore, that's what I'm talking about, that sort of thing. Okay, so you guys are really going down the same walk as what Chuck talked about in 89 that you guys did in 05.
Listen, Wolf, I'll put it this way. Football has not changed.
No.
Over its entire 100-plus year history, just like a chessboard has not changed since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's still 64 squares. You know,
is that how many are there? What about checkers? Are they the same?
Same board, different rules, right? It's different rules.
There you go, yes.
But it's the same board.
Yeah.
You could play chess and checkers on the same board. The rules just change, right? And the amount of pieces you have at your disposal change. But at the end of the day, like you said, it's still 11 guys on the field. Now, how you line those 11 guys up, that's up to you, right? Whether you go run and shoot, whether you go triple option, whether you go, you know, what we call pro style, or you go air raid or whatever else, modicum, you still got to have 11 guys on the field at the end of the day. And there has to be a minimum of 5 offensive linemen, and there has to be a minimum of 1 quarterback, right?
Right.
You know, that's just what has to happen. And everything else around it, you can configure how you like, but it has to be 11. And defensively, you got to have 11 guys over there. How many down linemen is up to you? How many linebackers up to you? How many DBs up to you? But it has to be 11. And the game still has to go on. The game still has to be played with 11 people. You can't have 12. You can't have 10. Right? You must have 11. There's an exacting number. How you configure those 11 is up to you. But there are standards and there's rules. And now within it, it's your job to operate within that construct. And when we talk about the 1/11th, that's what it is. That's what Kenny Pickett said. Just handle your job. If you do your job and the next guy does his job and so on and so forth till we get to a hole, which is 11 out of 11, now we're cooking with something. But you can't be 9/11ths. You can't be 8/11ths. You can't be 10/11ths. It's got to be a hole. Every part of that 11 must do their job to be successful. And that's where a players-only meeting can be constructive, because every guy has to understand what their role is within the whole. My job as a left tackle is to do whatever the given play is, do it to the best of my ability, whether it's blocking the end man on the line of scrimmage, whether it's going out to get the next guy that might be blitzing based off of their tendencies and what the role looks like from the safeties, or it's taking my guy in conjunction with the guy next to me, tight end or guard, and taking them up to another guy. And depending on how that body folds or falls, that's who comes off. But me, each of us knowing that assignment to know when it is. Let's take this guy on a double team, and then if the guy declares inside, guard, take him. Guy declares, scrapes over the top, I take him. If he stays there, we keep driving the hell out of that defensive lineman until we run him over as well. And we put him in the scoop of the dump truck, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, that's just how it goes. Or if I'm blocking and they twist, I take my set, That guy comes forward and loops back around. Guess what? Wherever direction he's going, I look, and I destroy whatever's in that path to collapse it all down. That is what you do. And if he comes right down the middle, you absorb, you brace, you reestablish leverage if you lost it, or punching, right, keeping the distance off of him if he's trying to run the edge on you. All these rules are the same. You go back to 1980, to 1970, to 1960. Now,
no, that was before me,
back
Max.
In the 60s.
That was before
me. No, I'm saying,
me.
but also, they did not use hands. That was the elbow days. That was the chicken wing days.
I
was like, since we've been able to use hands as an offensive lineman, let's just go from there, because obviously the rules changed. But the rule, the ability to block and execute an assignment has not changed. The way that you see it changes. The perception of it changes, but the base rule of winning your individual battle has not changed. That is what has stood the test of time.
It's always been there. Yes. Yeah.
It's always been there.
That's what makes it such a great game.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you still have 11, right? It's not like, hey, you know, it's not like, and even in chess, right? You lose a piece, you can get all the way across the board and get a piece back. Right?
Yep.
I look at that like injuries. You know what I'm saying? Like, say, hey, we're a little down right now. Hello, TJ Watt, right? Hello, Akello Witherspoon. You know, now Terrell Edmonds is Levi Watt. Right? You lose pieces. We got to get across the board so we can get those pieces back.
Well, one of the things, absolutely, and you're right. One of the things I love about football and just what you're describing, there's two scoreboards. There's the one that is for the teams and the fans, right? But there's also the individual one. And that really is the manifestation of the 111th that you've been talking about and so forth. That's important stuff. You know what? I got one more point. Why don't we wait and we'll bring it back and we'll talk that out. We'll kick it around too. All right?
Why not? And you know what? While we're kicking it around, Wolf, I want to make sure if anybody's missed any of our shows here on SNR, feel free to go to the iHeartRadio app, the Steelers mobile app, or Spotify podcastification stations worldwide and on the internet, the Interlooper. You know, you can go get our show in the Locker Room, Wolf and Starks. You can search that really easily. The Standard, obviously Tom and Jacob, Steelers Blitz, Wes and Motes. Stan Saffron, the Godfather, he even has one that he does twice weekly. Think about that. The Godfather's been around so long, he's actually on the internet too. Steelers Week in Review with Wesley Euler, also on there, drops every Tuesday. Obviously, the Mike Tomlin Game Day podcast drops every game day. And, you know, and many more. All those things can be found on all of your podcast stations, but specifically Steelers mobile app, make it easy for your life, or iHeartRadio app. Please feel free to go download if you miss anything or you just want to catch up and see what the other perspectives are. We welcome you to do that. But we're going to step aside. When we come back, Wolf's wisdom continues here in the locker room on SNR and ESPN
Radio.
We're all
in trouble now.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We got to know that there's going to be better days, not to provide or to seek comfort. Knowing that there's better days is going to be born out of our commitment to making sure that there are better days. And that's what I talked to the team about. But where we are today, not good. We understand it as professionals. We own it. It is what it is, man. We congratulate the Buffalo Bills on the quality game that they play.
And that's saying it in plain English. And the last point, again, going back to 1989 when the Steelers lost successive games to the Cleveland Browns 51-0 and 41-10. Coach Knoll made a number of valid points that I believe registered today, and I believe Mike Tomlin echoes them. And the last one of the four, and I can't remember exactly how Coach put it, but it brought to mind a verse in the Bible and says, if you crumble in the face of adversity, there wasn't much to you in the first place. And that's exactly, you know, that says it exactly how you feel, because to a man, And again, if you haven't experienced, haven't had the opportunity to play team sports, to play the great sport of football, to be involved in a situation with the pressure, the intensity, and all the things that go along with playing this great game and having that opportunity, even when you have adverse times, it's a character builder. It is a building block builder of men, of everybody that engages in the sport, because you understand the simplification of what adversity is. It can be, you know, it can be Reggie White sitting on your nose in a three technique on a 3rd and 10, you know, with 80,000 people screaming and you can barely hear the snap count. You got to hold your water and you got to hold him off and make sure, you know, and that's what it's all about. So just as I look at that, and you realize that some guys, some teams do crumble. We've seen people who have been affected by the pressure and were not able to withstand it. But I've seen others grow from it. And that's what, to me, the key in this whole thing is being able to withstand that adversity and overcome it and then turn it around.
No, it is. It is. And I think what we've been saying kind of echoes that. Just it comes down to not seeking comfort, but also looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, right? It's always the darkest before there's light,
right?
Right, when you're walking down that path. And each man has to understand that you control the key to how bright it is, right? You control the key to doing that, and it starts with self, and it goes from self to unit, unit to group, group to team. And that is the progression, right?
Right.
That's the progression of growth. And you have to be willing to accept it at every step of the way. You know, it's not something that just automatically becomes great. Like our team, I mean, you look at even when I came to the Steelers, you know, 2004 was a year when we didn't know what the team was going to be, right? You're just coming off of a 6-10 year in the previous year before I got there.
Exactly.
And it took an onus in 2004 to change that. No one person changed the face of the Steelers. No one individual did it. It was a team acceptance. You don't go from 6-10 to 15-1 because it's assumed. You go make it happen. You go out there and you personally, you take every game personal. Like Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, right? And I took that personal.
Right.
Right. That's what it takes. You take everything personal. You have to go out there and want to go out there and change it. Nobody's going to lay down like, oh my gosh, you got a rookie quarterback that's supposed to be generational. Hey, I just looked at a crystal ball. He's going to play 18 years. And you're going to win some Super Bowls along. No, hell no. Nobody knew that. Because more often than not, you've always seen first-round quarterbacks flounder. Or you see a first-round pick not pan out. So you have to go out there. There's a lot of uncertainty. We even heard it from Alan Faneca in the beginning, right, when Ben took the job.
Right.
And Tommy Maddox gets knocked out. I mean, you literally had three quarterbacks get injured before Ben was actually, you know, taking the starting role, because he was literally, by process of elimination, the only healthy guy left.
Yeah.
You know, nobody knew what it was going to be, but you had veterans along the way that had to believe, we got to make this rookie right. We got to do better as individuals and then to be better as a whole. The Steelers defense had to say, okay, we're going to go try and play our best defense, and we're going to go out there and we're just going to crush. We have a standard to uphold, but everybody has a different standard in their mind. We have one that is assumed by virtue of the history of the team, but I want to be a part of that history. I don't want to be the aberration. I don't want to be the asterisk next to it. I want to fit in line with this because it's a great line to be a part of. And that's where these guys still have that opportunity. You're 1-4. You're not dead.
It's not done yet.
You're wounded.
Mm-hmm.
But, and yes, there are some great teams out there. Yes, there's teams of destiny, this, yada, 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 yada. Unlikely things can happen when people make the unlikely more likely, and that's by daily habit creation. That's what it is, Wolf. It's daily habit creation. Am I doing everything every day to maximize my day? Or am I wasting it away? Am I looking at my phone too much? Am I on the internet? Am I sitting sedentary? When, if you have legs to walk, you should walk. If you have arms to lift, you should lift. If you have a mind that's sharp, continue to sharpen it, right? You have an opportunity every single day to make that decision. You know, and this is something that even for me, hey, as a radio broadcaster here in my office sitting here, I have an option. I can stand instead of sit, right? I could do more things. I could be more mobile. But it has to be an active conscious thought. If I want better health, I have opportunities to go do that throughout my day, no matter how busy my day is. And I can get inside my own head and say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I can make excuses. But at the end of the day,
right up until the box of donuts comes out. Oh,
right. But even then, guess what?
I know.
Guess what?
I know. You got to make that decision.
Go walk 30 minutes before you have that donut. Not saying deprive yourself, but at the same time, right, make a conscious decision that I'm going to do something to neutralize that out. I'm not going to, you know, you don't have to sacrifice. It doesn't have to be an either or, but realize if there's a decision, I can choose the consequence or I can go earn it, right?
Right.
I mean, that there is an active decision. There's always two paths, right? There's the blue pill and the red pill if we're going on Matrix, right?
There you go.
You have a choice in the process. And that's something that, you know, I'm going to be full transparency here, Wolf. I lost that when I first retired, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got down on myself. And all of us go through. Every player has a different way of grieving.
Yeah.
Right. And I lost what it was that made me a great player.
Right.
Mentally. Right. Because I didn't have the ritual. I didn't have the association. I didn't have
the support.
You know,
you don't have the routine and support around you for moving forward in those areas. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that, like you said, look inward for all that you need. Right.
Yeah, it really
like
is.
You can still apply the same principles. It's just a different environment. But the same principles, just like there's always 11 guys on each side of the ball for any given play on a football field, just like there's 64 spaces on a checkerboard, like all of those things are still there, but it's just how you perceive them, how you unlock it, and you make your own chessboard at home, right, as opposed to having to do it on a football field. How you make your team around you and your support system, you can actually build it. You're the GM of your life.
Yeah, literally.
You get to pick and choose what you want to associate with, and things that aren't good for you, you cancel them out because you know they're not going to help you get to where your next goal is. You can still set your own goals and achieve them, and you set them incrementally, right? Just like when we talk about the season, right? We come into training camp, everything's great because everybody's 0-0, and we talk about what do you have to do? Win the first game.
Yep.
Next, after that, got to win your division. Before you win your division, you got to win games in your conference. Win games in your conference, you got to win games outside of your conference and get to the playoffs. Then when you get to the playoffs, it's 1 week at a time. You take the opponent as they come till you get to the Super Bowl. Like, we set those goals every year as a team. You can set those for yourself. And you can still do that in life outside of football. It's just football mirrors and imitates life. And that's what guys have. We have to get out of our heads, right? Because sometimes you put those mental shackles on yourself. You put those mental boundaries and obstacles in front of you, and you don't realize that you created the obstacle. You also created the way to overcome those obstacles. You're the architect of your life, and you can take control of it. So I think the same thing applies in football as we look at a team. You know, we can apply all of those things to what they need to do, but they have to do them. You can tell them, but sometimes you got to experience it. And some guys learn better by going through it. And right now they're going through it, and you hope that guys will take these lessons and make themselves better because of it. But it's not something to sit there and, oh, my gosh, they've stolen my joy. No, they didn't. They didn't steal your joy. They're humans. They're fallible. Nobody's infallible in this earth. You know, the last perfect one, well, we know what happened to him. So it's just it's that
thank
process
God he overcame
of understanding.
The grave, buddy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Risen,
gives us
so.
Eternal salvation,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So, But you can go out and you can create your own luck. You can create your own opportunity, right? Luck is where preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the crux of it. So you have to get prepared. Look at your own process and make it more efficient. Look at it and make it a little bit better. And, you know, for somebody that needed to hear that, I'm glad I said it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, because, like I said, it applies to life. Like, we're simply using sport as a metaphor, but it applies to life. It applies to being great at what you want to be great at and determining what that great is and what it looks like and the incremental process it takes. Just as you're hard on a player or a coach or a team, apply that to your life as well.
There's
right?
No doubt. No doubt.
And there's going to be setbacks. Be okay with the setbacks, but don't be consumed with the setback. Don't let it overtake you. Don't let it, you know,
or
be the ever-consuming fire.
To stay there.
Complacency.
That's
yes.
Part of it. You know, whether it's the Steelers in 1989 or the Steelers in 2005, those lessons, they constantly evolve and show themselves year in and year out in various forms. And the last little point that Coach Knoll made, what was important, which I think is, as part of, you know, if you crumble in the face of adversity, there wasn't much to you, is this. Now is the time to circle the wagons, adding and make sure your enemies are on the outside. You know, the important thing is, again, it's that withdrawing to just the players and making sure the grumblers, the ones who are disenchanted, the ones who want to complain rather than change, the ones who, you know, are not, as I've always said, there's four components to every locker room I've ever been in. There's the adders, subtractors, the multipliers, and the dividers. And it's the multipliers and it's the adders that get the job done. And you've got to be part of that group if you want to move forward. And making sure that those naysayers, those who, you know, are constantly running people down and so forth, you keep them at bay and you protect your within. And that's where I think this team needs to go. And one of the most important lessons of the locker room, as I've said over and over again, and I think you agree with me, what you see there, what you say there, what you do there stays there when you leave there. And that's got to be something that is part and parcel of what you are as a group, because that is your strengthening. That is where you get your strength from.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that is what has to carry over. And it has to be within every man to look at themselves and judge in that perspective and be in that moment, right? You have, like you said, ownership over the yuck as well as being owner over the joy and having a control about them, but also not getting too high, not getting too low on those things.
Right.
Keeping things in perspective. Right? It's one step, right? As the Lord says, right? I shall be a lamp upon thine feet to shine your path. Like, that's what you have to do, and you have to be willing to take that step forward.
Is that Psalm 119, 105, you crazy man? Way to go.
Yeah, listen. I mean, it, you know, like I said, I spent a lot of time in church growing up as a kid.
There we go. Good job. That's all right.
But that's what it is. I mean, yeah. And listen, and when you look at Psalms, you look at Proverbs, right? There's an imitation of life in all of those things. And I think, you know, it's hearing that lesson. It's been said and translated in thousands of languages over centuries and millennia, but the process and the lesson never changes, right? It's a trust. It's a trust factor that, you know what, if I'm going to go do my job, I'm trusting that the guy next to me is going to do his job. I'm trusting the guy on the other side of the ball is going to do his job. I'm trusting that the coach is going to do his job. I'm trusting the organization is going to do their jobs. Referees are going to do their jobs. And when you have that belief and you have that undeniable fire that I'm going to do it against all odds, that's when you start to see something special. That's when teams are formed.
You got that right, brother. Well, why don't you take us to break here, and we'll come back, and we'll kick out the last little segment here. But I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better about what's going on because I believe these guys. I know it can happen. All right, so we got to muscle up here.
no complacency.
No complacency,
you know,
baby.
On our part. We're not trying to make you feel good about a loss.
No.
We're just trying to present what the facts are and where we're at right now.
That's
so
right.
So we are going to step aside. And while we step aside, we continue to urge you to make sure that you subscribe to the In the Locker Room podcast with Wolf and Starks. You can check out the Steelers mobile app. You can check out the iHeart app. But you can also check out anywhere else where podcasts are created and distributed. Right here on SNR, ESPN Radio, In the Locker Room.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The way how you approach the huddle and approach the game, like even when it was out of hand, it was still, I thought he still did a really good job of like just being composed and like getting us together. Of course, it's not the result we wanted, but I mean, I thought he did a really good job of like handling the environment, just staying composed and handling himself pretty well.
You know, that's exactly how it should roll out. You know, you got your men, you huddle up, you get in there, you got your quarterback, he comes in, he takes over. One of the things I love, Max, and I thought that I think the young man conducted himself to the highest of expectations. I thought Kenny did a very good job and dealing with the hand he was dealt. Look, nobody wants to throw 52 passes. Nobody wants to be back. Well, maybe some guys like it that much. But, you know, I know the offensive linemen don't want to go pass pro 52 times in a game. But you do what you have to do. And I love the fact that Kenny never looked like he was overwhelmed. He didn't look like he was trying to figure out where to go with the ball. He knew what he was doing out there.
Yeah, no, he did not look confused. He did not look lost. He looked like he was in compose of himself. And that's all you could ask for a guy faced with immense adversity, right? You know, hey, listen, we got to do this, guys. We got to get through it. That's just what has to happen. And I thought that Kenny, given all of those circumstances, did a great job. He performed the way that you expect him to perform. And, you know, was it the perfect result? Absolutely not. But he never looked overwhelmed.
Right.
He never looked shook. He looked in compose of himself. He controlled what he could control. Like, you can't pick all the plays that come into you. You can pick how you choose to make the decisions within that play.
Right.
And I thought for a rookie in his debut, doing all that he did, throwing for over 300 yards and throwing over 51 passes, that's pretty tremendous. And I don't think we could say that the book was limited to him, Wolf. Can we
no.
say that?
Yes.
I think the full menu was available to him in that game. It's just how we construct and how we develop the plan around him to make sure that we're hitting all of the things that he's good at. And let's face it, he also went to a very tough environment. Not just the team, but the physical environment was tough to deal with. You can't – once the ball leaves your hand – You can guess where it's gonna go.
Right.
But that wind, you can't see it, right?
Right.
You can't see it. You can only feel it, and it changes that level. So that ball gets up 10 feet in the air or above, it could be a completely different wind swirl up there. And I thought he did his best, and he controlled the variables he could control.
You know, Max, I agree with you totally. I enjoyed watching the young man battle out there, and I thought he brought a fighting spirit into the huddle, and then he displayed it in the situations that he faced, whether he was getting knocked around by his former teammate at Pitt or the fact that Shaq Lawson took a swipe at his legs as he was trying to run out of bounds. So whatever, you know, I love his competitive spirit. And, again, the fact that he was not overwhelmed at all in any way, shape, or form. And I think this is a starting of a building block where this young man goes forward. And I think that he can carry a lot of the fortunes of the Steelers' offense into, you know, years to come. But it starts with what he did yesterday, and now he's got to prepare and come back in, get ready to go tomorrow, and he's got to lock and load and lead the way. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Your quarterback is one of the most important people to have in that locker room, and the Steelers have had it, a Hall of Famer there for 18 years. That's not easily replaced. You know, this is basically what, you know, we've been talking about. This is what life looks like in between, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You know, this is what it is when you don't have that, Ben. Now, I'm not saying that Kenny don't have – Kenny's got – everything's on the table for Kenny. And it's his to go out and realize at some point in the future. But certainly what I liked about it was what we saw. I thought he gave it everything he had.
I'll just say this. Be ye not discouraged. Be ye encouraged.
Oh, you're in the King James, baby. You're just rolling this morning.
That's right. Hey, listen, we talked about London and tea cake sandwiches and everything else. I figured we'd keep it across the pond, you know, to finish out the show. But, you know, hey, if you missed any of this show today, if you missed any of our pontifications, you missed any of our points of salience, well, you can go and find our show by searching the Steelers mobile app, iHeartRadio app, or Spotify, SoundCloud, everywhere else that there is a podcast. I don't know all of them, so forgive me. But you can find our show as well as many other shows on the Steelers Nation Radio lineup just by going and checking those out. You have the Blitz, the Standard, In the Locker Room with us. You also have the Godfather of Pittsburgh Sports, Steelers Week in Review, Game Day Podcast. You got it all. It's all there. If it's SNR, we got you covered. Thank you for listening today. We'll be back tomorrow to report and continue to bring you all the things about Steelers Nation and, of course, this Pittsburgh Steelers football team here on In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio. Take care.